Really?
No, not really, Reacher said. I need some painkillers, that's all. I haven't been able to rest my arms like I hoped.
What do you really want?
I want to talk, Reacher said. They started in the kitchen. They cleaned his cuts, purely as a way of occupying themselves. The doctor's wife said she had trained as a nurse. She poured some thin, stinging liquid into a bowl and used cotton balls. She started on his face and neck and then did his hands. She made him take off his shirt. His back was all ripped up by the long, scrabbling escape from under the truck. He said, I had breakfast with Dorothy this morning, at her place. The doctor's wife said,
You shouldn't be telling us that. It could get her in trouble.
Only if you rat her out to the Duncans.
We might have to.
She said she's a friend of yours.
Not really a friend. She's much older.
She said you stood by her 25 years ago. The woman said nothing, just continued her careful ministrations behind his back. She was thorough. She was opening each scratch with thumb and forefinger and swabbing extensively. The doctor said,
Would you like a drink?
Too early for me, Reacher said.
I meant coffee.
You were drinking coffee last night. Reacher smiled. The guy was trying to prove he could remember something. Trying to prove he hadn't been really drunk. Trying to prove he wasn't really hungover. A cup of coffee is always welcome, Reacher said. The doctor stepped away to the sink and got a drip machine going. Then he came back and took Reacher's arm, like doctors do, his fingertips in Reacher's palm, lifting, turning, manipulating. The doctor was small, and Reacher's arm was big. The guy was struggling like a butcher with a side of beef. He dug the fingers of his other hand deep into Reacher's shoulder joint, poking, feeling, probing.
I could give you cortisone.
Do I need it?
It would help.
How much?
A little. Maybe more than a little. You should think about it. It would ease the discomfort. Right now it's nagging at you, probably making you tired.
Okay, Reacher said. Go for it.
I will,
the doctor said.
In exchange for some information.
Like what?
How did you hurt yourself?
Why do you want to know?
Call it professional interest.
The doctor's wife finished her work. She tossed the last cotton ball on the table and handed Reacher his shirt. He shrugged it on and started buttoning it. He said,
It was like you figured. I was caught in a hurricane.
The doctor said,
I don't believe you.
Not a natural weather event. I was in an underground chamber. It caught on fire. There was a stair shaft and two ventilation shafts. I was lucky. The flames went up the ventilation shafts. I was on the stairs, so I wasn't burned. But air to feed the fire was coming down the stair shaft just as hard as the flames were going back up the ventilation shafts. So it was like climbing through a hurricane. It blew me back down twice. I couldn't keep my feet. In the end, I had to haul myself up by the arms.
How far?
280 steps.
Wow. That would do it. What was this?
That's outside of your professional interest.
Then what happened?
That's outside of your professional interest, too.
Recent event, yes?
Feels like yesterday, Reacher said. Now go get the needle. It was a long needle. The doctor went away and came back with a stainless steel syringe that looked big enough for a horse. He made Reacher take his shirt off again and sit forward with his elbow on the table. He eased the sharp point deep into the joint from the back. Reacher felt it pushing and popping through all kinds of tendons and muscles. The doctor pressed the plunger, slow and steady. Reacher felt the fluid flood the joint, felt the joint loosen and relax in real time immediately, like healing insanely accelerated. Then the doctor did the other shoulder. Same procedure, same result.
Wonderful, Reacher said.
The doctor asked,
What did you want to talk about?
A time long ago, Reacher said, when your wife was a kid.
Chapter 24. Reacher dressed again, and all three of them took mugs of fresh coffee to the living room, which was a narrow, rectangular space with furniture arranged in an L shape along two walls, and a huge, flat-screen television on a third wall. Under the screen was a rack loaded with audiovisual components all interconnected with thick wires. Flanking the screen were two serious loudspeakers. Set into the fourth wall was an undraped picture window that gave a great view of 1,000 acres of absolutely nothing at all. Dormant lawn, the post and rail fence, then dirt, all the way to the horizon. No hills, no dales, no trees, no streams. But no trucks or patrols either. No activity of any kind. Reacher took an armchair where he could see the door and the view both at the same time. The doctor sat on a sofa. His wife sat next to him. She didn't look enthusiastic about talking. Reacher asked her, How old were you when Dorothy's kid went missing? She said,
I was 14.
6 years older than Seth Duncan.
About?
Not quite in his generation.
No.
Do you remember when he first showed up?
Not really. I was 10 or 11. There was some talk. I'm probably remembering the talk rather than the event.
What did people say?
What could they say? No one knew anything. There was no information. People assumed he was a relative, maybe orphaned. Maybe there had been a car wreck in another state.
And the Duncans never explained?
Why would they? It was nobody's business but theirs.
What happened when Dorothy's little girl went missing?
It was awful. Almost like a betrayal. It changed people. A thing like that? Okay, it puts a scare in you, but it's supposed to have a happy ending. It's supposed to turn out right. But it didn't.
Dorothy thought the Duncans did it.
I know.
She said you stood by her.
I did.
Why?
Why not?
Reacher said, You were 14. She was, what, 30? 35? More than twice your age, so it wasn't about solidarity between two women, or two mothers, or two neighbors, not in the normal sense.